tuning into the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Okay, welcome everybody. Thank you for joining us for another AfterBuzz TV After Show for Justified Season 6, Episode 11, Fugitive Number 1. I'm John Comerford, joined in the studio by Tamara Berg.
Hey everybody, you can tweet me at Tamara Berg.
And Stephen Bottomley.
Hey, you can tweet me at Bottomley Stephen.
Catherine, I call her Kathy because they're so,
close.
So Catherine meets her demise. Okay, first of all, I didn't think we'd have her dying so quickly. I thought she'd be there until the finale. So that was a surprise.
I kind of did too.
So, but you know, you can't kill everybody off in the last episode because.
Oh, you could.
Yeah, you could.
Where's that written?
You want to pace these things, right?
I suppose you do.
Okay, so so much in this episode. This was a very full episode. But anyway, I just wanted to start there because I don't know how you come back from that. How do you hold off not talking about that?
Yeah.
The whole thing, the Paco Bus Cannon playing and then setting that up with the classical music from earlier when Mikey and Wynn are discussing things about how he wants the code shoved up his ass, so to speak. So the whole thing was very strange and weird and awesome. What did you think of the scene? Were you thrown by it? Were you like, whoa, wait, I wasn't expecting that.
No, I wasn't expecting it. Backing it up just a little with Wynn and Mikey in the scene that was before that.
Wynn
saying, you know, he's trying to sort of negotiate with Mikey and going, do you want me to drive sometimes?
I liked one of my favorite lines was, okay, so you have a code, you're Billy Jack. For those of you who don't know, in the 70s, Billy Jack, it's a whole movie.
Classic movie character.
But I do like the reveal. Finally, when Mikey blows it, he goes, you were family.
You know?
It's like, oh, see, Wynn, you were like a father figure, you dick, and you didn't even know
Well, of course, how could he?
He's too self-absorbed and, you know, surfing and.
But it pays off at the end there because when Mikey does, I mean, the last thing he asks is, will you hold me? Yeah. And he does. And he's like, whoa,
It was kind of a moment where it could go either way if you're, because the death scene was so, graphic, and there was so much going on with it that when he's there dying and he says, will you hold me? Depending on how you're looking at it, it could look ridiculous and you could laugh at it. But of course, because I'm a tender-hearted soul, you, having blackness in your heart, may not have taken it that way. But I found it, I choked up.
I did too, because first of all, you don't expect to, because it's Wynn, and you don't really think of him or see him ever having any kind of humanity or caring.
No.
Well, they did a couple of things to set you up for that. First of all, when Wynn is under the table, he's yelling at Mikey. You know, he's like trying to get Mikey to stop. Mikey's always been Wynn's trained dog. And now he's trying to protect his dog from getting killed. There was that moment. And then the classical music playing. So those two things kind of set up the fact that, you know, it's okay to go there. It's okay to, you know, and plus, what's better than having a big old tough guy finally just go, you know, I'm scared, I'm afraid.
It reminded me. We talked a lot about this season about, you know, because Ty Walker and the Seabass, they were in the sandbox, even Choo Choo. And it's very common when you're shot out there and you just want somebody.
You don't want to be alone.
They talk about World War II veterans and they want their mom, all that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, big tough guy like that. But let's set up the whole thing because I love the fact that they started with the classical music and the setup scene when, you know, and the whole, and you think it's just Mikey's finally getting this, you know, be in charge of this. He listens to, of course.
Yeah.
But that's all just, in my mind, but it works so nicely to set up the Paco Bell's Canyon because, like, who would think that would be an interesting song, a piece to pick for that violence? But it was great juxtaposition. You normally hear it as brides walk down the wedding aisle.
You can't discount that music because everything that Mikey does from in that scene has to have a root somewhere. If Mikey were listening to hip hop or anything else, you'd go, Yeah, that makes the fact that he's actually listening to classical music. The it just says, no, I'm much deeper than you think. I'm right. Thinking about things. I'm not an idiot.
And not only that, for me, it comes off of the other thing where you said we play tennis. You remember mm-hmm. a couple of episodes ago?
With the girl he dated.
You would never expect Mike to play tennis right. yeah. of all sports. Yeah. But he's playing tennis, which makes okay.
The way he greets Catherine. Yes. And she says, Michael, Catherine. And yes. Very, very, you know, yeah. and very like.
This by the way, he doesn't call him Mikey.
Mikey?
No,
right?
No. Michael. Evidently, yeah. they talked.
Yes. She's Catherine's awareness.
And again, that's such a small little thing. So yeah, obviously tiny, there's yeah. a back conversation that all you need is that one Michael and oh, yes. damn. You guys know.
And then the shooter, the way Avnet shot it, John Avnet was the director of this yes. particular episode. Mm-hmm. We see that her legs, her feet stepping up into the mm-hmm. RV and everything yeah. like that. And the Pocket Bell's yeah. cannon is playing. It's like, oh, this is not going to go well.
yeah.
Now, did you expect that there would somebody get dead in this? And that
oh, yeah.
It would be but did you think it was going to be Cat? You didn't
think
it was going to be
Cat? No. I thought for sure it was going to be Wynn.
Yeah.
Because just like she took out Seabass. I mean, and let's face it, I think one of the reasons why they set up the Seabass thing, because you didn't have to have Seabass come back.
They
showed that to show how ruthless Catherine
was. Of course.
Was. So when she steps in there and the Paco Bell's cannon is playing, I'm thinking, oh boy, this is going to be bad for Wynn. Yeah. But in the back of my mind, I'm going, but Wynn is a cockroach. He's never, ever going to die. He's always going to survive.
So true.
That's exactly what I was thinking was happening. I'm like, going, damn, I don't see a way out for you, dude.
Exactly.
But
he's handcuffed.
Always gotten out.
Exactly. And that's what I thought was great about the scene, because you weren't, I mean, she's so ruthless. Yeah, she's going to take him, but there's no way he's going to get the whole, her raison d'etre was to kill whoever sold out Grady. So you, yes, but it's Gwyn, and somehow he finds a way. It's like a cockroach in a holocaust, a nuclear holocaust.
He gets out by being Gwyn. He yeah. didn't grovel.
No.
He didn't, you know, try to... all he did is he...
He told her the truth.
Exactly. What Mikey saw was Gwyn saying, this is who we are.
Yeah.
This is how we are.
Yeah,
yes.
And he saw that. Right. And then when he says to her... Yeah. You just said this. You just said that this
yeah,
is the
yeah,
thing
yeah,
I
Mikey,
should do.
Yeah, yeah, Mikey, yeah. It was great. And the Wynn's argument to her, he goes, look, I did you a favor. He is, you know, he kind of did.
Yeah,
in
did.
Some respects.
Yeah.
And,
but
yeah.
she has a code,
she
too.
She has a code, too. Exactly.
You
Everybody
protect
has their
your
code.
Partner and you avenge them against people who do them wrong. And that is something I strongly believe in.
Which is a great turn for Mikey to be able to, because I was looking at how are you going to get Mikey out of this? How are you going to get Mikey to step in? And what a way to do it, using her. And then he just uses the argument with her.
And it worked well right up to a point.
yeah. Yeah, okay, not now. Not now, Mikey. Not in this instance.
Mikey took more shots than Charlie Sheen at an open bar.
Oh, my God.
Mikey took more shots than Kobe Bryant in a championship game.
Okay. I'm just sure that we got one more.
Hey, Mikey! Took more shots than Don Rickles at a cosplay convention.
All right.
Thank
okay,
you. That
moving
was
on.
Older. Okay, here we go. We're moving
wow.
on.
Wow.
All right, but then let's just talk about the actual scene. I don't know
yes.
how they choreographed this. I don't know how difficult it is, but it was well staged.
Complicated.
Well shot. Yeah, I mean, so many shots and angles and everything like that. But it cut together so smoothly. I think there was only one shot that confused me for a second.
It was just because, well, you know, I watch
yeah.
these things through
yeah.
my hand.
That's right. Because
and so I actually missed one just portion
one
of
frame.
A second mm-hmm. where the hole was, you know, up above and the Mikey's blood was
the
pouring
hole
out.
The table.
It was the hole in the table, but I didn't,
interpret
that because we had seen him, his blood go on the ceiling,
right.
and for some reason I thought that blood was coming through
yeah,
the ceiling. It
yeah,
was
yeah.
it was not their fault, it was my fault, because
yeah.
I watched those scenes through my fingers.
I was just loving the whole exchange, the whole setup with her being, you know, kind of like you're kind of off, you're awfully flipped for someone who's about to
yes.
die. And Wynn being so defiant in a sense and matter of fact and pragmatic and saying, hey, this is what the whole thing. And then when Mikey steps in and using the argument again, and then all hell breaks loose, and she has no problem shooting Mikey.
Yeah.
How many shots did he take?
I don't know. I actually counted four.
Seven.
And they were all like hardcore body
yeah.
shots.
Oh my
they
God.
Were not like
yeah.
one didn't go through his, you know, bicep.
No.
They were hardcore
yeah,
shots.
And it was great in that sense because meaning great TV because then Mikey being we didn't know how much fortitude Mikey has until now.
We did.
Or
not.
Excuse me, Michael. But I was also thinking, hey, Catherine, didn't you learn anything with Seabass? One in the head, buddy.
Yes.
One in the head would take
it's all
it
takes.
Of course, it's kind of hard to do when somebody's roughing you up like that.
Yeah.
To pick her up and slam her down on the table, that was
It was shocking, to see her be so manhandled.
Yeah, but Catherine Tubin, again, going back to what Avery said at the early second episode of this season, mm-hmm. is that women are tough. They have to be more tough. And here I was going, yep, this proves it. This, I mean, of course, she, you know, ultimately dies.
And that's what I really liked about it was you know, as morbid, the race to death.
Yeah,
you know, Mikey had a job to do, and if he didn't do the job, she had a bullet left for Wynn.
Yeah,
and that's why Wynn screaming out for to Mike the whole time. That's why it was such a great moment right there. But absolutely, I mean, you know, you're going to play with that game.
You got Pocahontas cannon playing. You got such violence. Yeah. You got him, Wynn screaming, and I'm just going. And it was kind of choreographed, and I'm just. This is amazing.
One of the other things, you know, in the Graham Yost postmortem, he talked about John Avnet really wanted to make this a memorable scene, which he obviously did.
Sure.
But they discussed the fact that they had some constraints because, you know, John Avnet pitched the idea.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Pitched the idea of throwing one of them out the window.
That would have been awesome. Mikey throwing her out the window. That would have been fun.
But, you know, there are budgetary constraints to that. Yeah. And you know, they're coming to the end of the series.
They have
to
return the RV.
They do have to return the RV.
Deposit back.
Yeah.
Few bullet holes.
To clean up the blood.
Oops.
Wow.
That there were, and they talked about how there were longer versions of this fight, and, you know, several people took, people, I know, right?
Wow.
Several people took kind of stabs at it, pardon the usage of the word, took a shot at it to see if they could shorten it and change some certain things. And anyway, so this is what we ended up with.
Landed on finally. It was very effective.
Do you know how long it took them to shoot it?
No.
I didn't.
Maybe we can find out.
Right, so, yeah, we'll find out. We'll ask VJ next week when he's here.
Yeah, remember, VJ Boyd's going to be with us next week.
A promo for you next week, VJ Boyd.
Yes, producer and writer. He has written episode 12,
so we can talk to him about that as well. And we might have an extra special.
Extra special actor guest
who
we can't quite name yet.
We haven't inked it yet.
But it's someone who has not been on our show before.
VJ Boyd is our special guest, and we'll have a second special guest, hopefully.
Someone who's not been here before, you guys are going to love it.
I will say that if I were Mikey, that's an awfully cool way to leave.
Oh, I know. I mean, great for him. I mean, here's a character and an actor, by the way, who was just supposed to be a one-off. Wasn't supposed to be anything. It's kind of like, you know, and he's had... I mean, how many great scenes, and especially this series, this particular season, I should say, had a great run. And what a way to go out. I mean, and two things, and also Catherine, one of the reasons it's well publicized, one of the reasons that Mary decided to do it, she wanted to make sure she got to kill somebody, and she wanted a good death scene.
Great death scene.
Well, and it's like, okay.
Done and done.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's like Graham Yost helped do his work.
And she got to speak French.
Yeah,
well, but at the very end, this is the other thing I really liked. And he's shaking, and he's like, I'm thinking, he's like, I don't know why I'm still alive. I don't know how any of this happened. Oh my god, ooh, jewelry.
Oh, I know. It's so classic. And I went, okay,
and he just kind of pauses. I'm like, you're going to finish the phone call, right?
And even the whole thing, I'm going, I didn't know what he was reaching for, and I was like, and then the phone comes out, and then when he sees the jewelry, I go, okay, we're back to Winbow.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And
he had a momentary
amount of time.
Momentary part of humanity, and we're back to Winbow.
Exactly. And his line was one of my favorite lines from the show, which was 911, what's your emergency? I'm not sure where to start.
It's a great, great thing. So he's going to take the tennis bracelet.
And the ring.
And because he's a cockroach and that's how he survives, he's opportunist.
Of course.
Absolutely. I mean, it's like, if I've survived this, I mean, he's going to think he's luckier than crap, right?
So, yes.
Because he should not have survived that. So, and again, I can't go on too much about it, but I will. I just want to talk just a little bit more about the moment when Mikey is dying and he actually, hold me, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, how do they get you to care for when, and in that moment? I mean, obviously you're caring about Mikey because he seems a bit, you know, as odd as that whole exchange was, he was a stand-up guy in the sense he was trying to protect somebody and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Even though he ratted him out, so to speak. But also, you kind of are feeling for Wynn. He's actually, at least you're giving the guy the thing he needs on his way out.
I'm telling you, when he's calling out Mikey's name.
Yeah.
He's trying to protect Mikey, and it's just the small little things that it registers.
Yeah.
Well, because
again, if you think of the scene of him just sitting there, you go, no, that turn doesn't make sense. Just like the classical music.
Yeah.
And I also think part of it is Wynn just found out that how much he meant to Mikey.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
So there has to be a certain amount of, you know, God, at least this kid's dying for me. I should give him a little something.
But he's not only that,
the thing about it was, because there was no time involved for even to see that turn, it seemed like it was real genuine at that moment.
Right.
Of course, it didn't last very long.
No.
He's desperate.
And then
he calls 911, and I'm thinking, that was a weird I wasn't expecting him to call 911.
He's got
to
cover his ass somehow. And,
I know. What else can you do? He doesn't have Mikey. Who's going to clean it up for him?
He's got two dead bodies.
Yeah.
And so, plenty of evidence saying that he didn't do it.
He's got no powder burns.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. So, yeah, that again, he's a survivor.
Right.
And that's what... And I was just thinking
And Raylan knows the whole game
of course.
Now, so it's not... Anyway, go ahead.
Well, through the six seasons, right? Six seasons?
Yeah.
How many times have we written Win Duffy off as like, well, I can see that in another show.
Exactly.
There's no way he survived
sure.
this thing.
Well, I think earlier in the season, I think I said the only one that could survive Harlan is Win because he's the only cockroach.
I think you did, yes.
Yeah. All right, we got to move on to other stories, but we'll stick with this part of it, which is the whole Catherine Avery.
Oh,
so,
my goodness.
Just talking about Catherine. Now, obviously, before she goes to kill Win, we have the scene where... Now, this is after last week when, you know, Avery finds out that, you know, she's set the whole thing up with Boyd. So now we have that scene in the hotel room. And she's on the phone with Mikey, and Mikey's explaining everything that Wynn's the rat, and he has him and all that other stuff. Then that scene, now, again, I'm just going, okay, I didn't know what was going to happen in that scene either, because it looked like, okay, all kinds of things. She goes for her purse. First of all, she goes for the purse.
Yes.
And he pulls it away because we remember what was in the purse last time.
I know what's in that purse.
And this is a brand new purse, so who knows what's in it now, right? So, and he certainly does. So I'm going, oh, yeah, that's right. So the tension's already way high.
Right.
She's not expecting him to be there. And the whole grabbing of the purse and he pulling it away. And then the whole weird talk about love and trust.
I've always loved you, but I didn't trust you. Would it be so bad living together and not trusting each other like every other couple in the world?
Yeah.
What?
But were you not expecting that hand to get tighter and tighter when he's got it around her neck, all caressing and loving?
No one's ever grabbed me in the front of my neck in a loving way.
In a loving way,
No.
Yeah. So you didn't ever get the feeling that it was a love caress.
I did not feel that in this moment.
But it was very cool though because she was kind of like in this submissive role of like, you know, I suppose you can if you want to. You know, snap my neck, whatever. And she's still being very honest.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of goes back to the other thing about, you know, honor among thieves that they say in the jail thing.
Yeah.
Like, okay, this is the only way this relationship is going to work, which
is,
I honestly tell you I don't trust you.
Right.
Yeah.
And I honestly don't trust you.
Yeah. Okay, well, at least we know that. You know, every couple has issues. Right?
They have their wedding gifts picked out.
Nobody's perfect.
Right. They do.
Yeah.
Wynn's head.
Very sweet. And
in
that Tiffany box.
We'll ask Vijay. Maybe he knows. But I don't know if it was in the script or the choice by Sam Elliott to actually put his hand on his throat in that way. Because, yes, it was threatening. But it was still so much on the line that you're going, okay, that could be, you know, because it was a soft grab. You know what I mean? It was just a great choice.
What he was saying with that, if it's intentional, what I was picking up was, you know, I can kill you anytime.
Absolutely. I'll snap your neck.
You know, and she's like, yeah,
while
I
love you. And, and I love you.
Yeah. And
Yeah.
I do love you.
Exactly.
And she's like, yeah, I'm good with that.
Right.
Well, and her big love declaration, you know, you know, giddy giggle, I do love you, comes off of him saying, I'm going to give you Wynn's head.
I think she might have had a little mini death when he said that, because seemed very, very...
And also the other one, right after that, when she declares her love like that, which seems genuine in a very weird, flirty kind of schoolgirl way,
and then he says
from his back, I love you too, love you too.
Love you too, which is different from I love you too.
Absolutely.
I just want to state for the record that's different.
Oh, it's way different. That's a guy like just trying not to say I love you.
L-U-V-U, the number two.
That really is one step above an emoticon, basically.
If he could have, he would have given her an emoji.
Yeah.
But it seems like it was just the punctuation point of I don't trust you. To me, that's all that said. And that whole scene, I'm going... You think at any moment either one of them would kill the other if they needed to.
Yeah.
So, but I also love the part that was so with such great contrast was the fact that they're talking about in a way their future, meaning can't we live together? I was like,
how awesome is our wedding going to be? Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Taco Bell's can't. Oh,
crazy,
no.
Right?
We're not going to have that at
the
wedding.
Very conflicting, but very just extremely well written and well acted scene. And congratulations to them because at this point, I'm just going, all I care about is I just watch.
You know what? I had to watch it twice and make notes because the first time, it's when you see those two work, you know, you just watch and just get sucked into it.
Yeah.
All right. We'll talk more about Avery later when we talk about Raylan. But let's go to the Boyd storyline because we first meet him, of course.
In the hospital.
Okay, it wasn't a squib hit, evidently. Yeah. Okay.
It shattered on his collarbone shattered his collarbone.
Right away, the doctor says, it's what we like to call one lucky son of a bitch.
Like,
yep, that's Boyd.
The second time, but he's one lucky son of a bitch. Yes. And of course, the doctor says you'll be fine, whatever, blah, 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 blah. And Raylan's there. And they have this great sequence in there about disappointment and, you know, take me out of here and let's settle this like we need to and all this. All that kind of stuff is all fine.
Right, telling us sort of, you know, setting the tone for the finale.
Because you can see this time, you know, a lot of times we see all the angst and anger and resentment underneath everything. This time it wasn't as hidden, as veiled as it usually is. It was like, I think Boyd really wanted to just get it done because he's just so low right now. I mean, obviously Avery just shot him. Who's his friend? He's in the hospital.
He's wearing a dress, for God's sake.
Yeah. So,
and cut to a bed.
That's what hurts him the most.
Yes.
But start talking about Ava, and I love that Raylan realized this is the pressure point here. I mean, even though she shot him, he's squeezing that because look, Boyd, you're gonna let her hang out there and hope what happens if Avery gets her and
wondering what they're gonna do to her. Maybe, and he says maybe she's got that coming.
Yeah.
And Raylan says, and you're cool with that? Them serving out their retribution however they see fit.
Yeah.
And he kind of was okay with that.
Well, he says he acts like he is.
You're right.
Because he's keeping up the front, but as soon as Raylan starts to leave, he changes his tune rather quickly. And for no reason, I mean, I think he was serious when he's doing, he tells him about Zachariah because Raylan's right. I'm just going out on record as saying that I think he really does love her and I think he really doesn't want anything to happen to her. And it's not just about the money and it's not just because he wants to exact his own retribution. I think he doesn't want Avery or anybody to get her.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think he's the only one that loved her because Raylan looked really pissed when he when Boyd was talking about not caring about harm coming to Ava.
Yeah.
He did.
I mean, he looked angry. And so when that and that whole back and forth is with you, what about this, what about that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was glad to see that turn at the very end.
Yeah.
When
he says about Zachariah and stuff like that. Yeah.
Because you're right. He's concerned about Ava as Ava and not necessarily
just
the money.
These two guys are just butting heads like crazy in this particular scene. And at the end of the day here, she's going to get... who knows what can happen to her if Avery gets a hold of her. It's clearly, he has no problem. He's had him shot. He's had him shot all kinds of things. And if he's looking for the money, who knows what kind of torture he would wreak upon her.
Yeah.
So.
But she is the prettiest girl in Harlan.
That's true. So, clearly. And fugitive number one now.
Yes, she is.
So,
I just want to say a real quick thing. I think Tim is a master at looking scornfully at people.
Yes, he is.
Whenever somebody says something that he thinks is stupid, he's I wish Jacob. I could do that. Jacob, that's a great look.
He does have a great look of scorn.
Yeah. He says you're an idiot without doing a thing.
Yeah, it's nicely done.
So fun to watch.
Yeah. All right, so
have to study that.
Avery's looking for his money and Ava and the whole thing. He figures out Boyd's in the hospital. How are we going to get Boyd? And he just pays off the prison guards and gets Carl. And the nice little scene there, and it's like, what is it so easy to bribe people in Harlan, especially in the prison system?
Apparently so.
Okay, well, I guess if you're Avery and you have that much money and you know the right people to talk to, it is.
I can't imagine the salary for a Harlan sheriff is going to be that high.
Yeah. No. So,
and as we know from Raylan, any apple red shit kicker in Harlan is going to go for money.
Right.
Whatever the hell it is.
Right.
I can't remember that.
Apple Cheek.
Thank you. And it was something like that.
But that was a very... Wait, now we're with Markham.
Well, I'm talking in the prison sequence, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was a really cool deal.
What's that? The scene?
The way they set it up, yeah.
Oh, I like the part with Carl and Earl, actual brothers. Earl, the younger brother, stepping on the older brother.
Hey, man, I'm telling the story.
Yeah. God damn it, Earl, no. Ain't no honor among thieves. Crime does pay.
Stop interrupting my story. It seems like younger brother, older brother, stepping crazy.
Oh, okay. But when Boone walks in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
With...
First Davey walks in.
You know, and
that's my spaghetti western.
Thank you, Tamara. Whistle.
I'm guessing we're going to be doing a whole... We're not doing this... Okay, so... He is so wonderfully nuts.
Oh, Boone? Boone?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My God. But, you know, there's like a... there's like a comfortable assurance in his crazy that, you know, Boone is just going to take her problems in his own way.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's just so fun to watch him live in a bygone era of this is how it worked. Mm-hmm. Right was right, wrong was wrong, and Jenny talks.
And might makes right. Yeah, Jenny talks.
Jenny, Jenny talks. Jenny.
Yeah, I love that. Has he used that the name before? I didn't know that he called Jenny.
I didn't notice it before.
That's the first time I heard him call his gun Jenny.
Yeah. Game.
Where did that come from? I loved it, but it was
I've not heard it either. Yeah. But I do love the line, Jenny will blow Earl a kiss. I'm like, whoa, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's a little Elmore Leonard right there.
Very nice. Very nice. So, obviously, Carl has decided that... Okay, Avery wants me to go take out Boyd, and if I don't, Earl dies.
What are you gonna do?
Okay.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, got to do it. And he's got good reason. He realizes that Boyd threw him under the bus and sold him out to the cops.
So. Right.
All right, even after everything's done for him. So that takes it to the hospital, of course. Now at the hospital, we have to get Raylan and Tim out of there, so they have to go on a manhunt looking for Ava.
Right.
So that leaves Nelson behind. Poor Nelson. Poor Nelson. Not the brightest bulb in the Marshall ceiling.
So, no, but ready for a cup of coffee at any point.
That's true.
You know.
Mm-hmm. But an easy way to get him out of the way. But, okay, so we feel bad for Nelson because he's the one that's going to be holding the bag here when it turns out that, I don't know who the cop was that came in and got
it. Was a C name. It was that like was Courtney, but that
was Deputy Nelson.
No.
I'm talking about the cop that came in and got Nelson to leave. Nelson was the guy who was looking after Boyd.
Oh, that was Nelson. I have that written down somewhere. So,
anyway,
I'm sorry. Keep going.
So, because Nelson takes off, you know, and Carl comes in. Now, here, again, this scene with Carl and Boyd, Boyd's not going to get it. It's not going to get shot, but it was still... every time you see a gun to a head, you kind of go, that might, especially in a justified, you just don't know. You're not positive. I mean, I didn't think for a second, you can't kill Boyd, but I was like, that gun could go off. So, anyway, did it have that kind of tension for you?
Yeah, well, except that Boyd cares deeply about Carl and his brother Earl, as he said.
Yes.
He cares deeply about
that. Of course he does. And he was confused. Why are you pointing a gun at me? I'm infirm. I'm sorry. I didn't notice the tubes.
Uh-huh. Or the bandages. Mm-hmm. Or the dress.
Yeah.
There's Carl's stuck. You got history and you got family. Mm-hmm. And Boyd knows it. And Boyd went right to his soft spot. I think that's one
advantage.
Thing Boyd will always know is the soft spot of people working for him.
And he's great at talking his way out. I mean, we've seen it time and time again. He always talks his way out of something.
Charming criminal.
Exactly. He's charming. And sociopath at all. Because, of course, at the end of the sequence, you know, that was a great sequence.
It was great.
All right. You know, Carl believes him. Finally unlocks the handcuss or whatever.
But just before you say that, he offers him half of everything
that's
I put
right.
my hands on.
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah,
Carl's going to fall for that? Just unhooking handcuffs and I've made $5 million?
He's an apple-cheeked.
I mean, instantly I was just like, you know, why don't you offer me a third and I might believe you a little better? Or even $1 million. I probably believe that more than. But no, Carl, he was an apple-cheeked Southern Harlan County boy.
So.
Well, what are you going to do? You can't really kill Boyd. And if you walk out without Boyd dead, your brother dies.
Yes,
so
exactly.
So it's kind of like, okay, this is the only option I got.
Yeah. Well, is it a key? Why don't you just shoot him and therefore Earl wouldn't be dead? Because that's what Avery says, kill him if you don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll kill him.
But, and I'm sure that was his plan going in until Boyd says,
$5 million.
I got another plan. Here, how about this plan?
Do you think it's just that, was it the money or was it, does he like the idea of them sticking it to Avery? Or was it just the money?
Well, first of all, I'm not sure that Carl actually believes they're going to survive being on Avery's bad side.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, in the moment, I guess he's thinking, well, maybe he and Boyd can get to Avery. Maybe, you know, we can all just get the hell out of Dodge at one point.
Yeah.
I think he because it's Avery, he goes, look, we're not surviving this with Avery. Anyway, even if I kill Boyd, Avery's going to kill me and Earl. That's what
right.
I think. And I have a better shot of surviving with Boyd than I do with Avery.
Yeah, I think that's probably right.
And I got a better shot of getting Earl out of lockup. And
if know, I've got $5 million,
yeah. Well, if I've got Boyd, you know, helping me clean right. up this mess.
All right. So, but bad decision all the way around. So it's a moot point. It was seconds, a really interesting discussion.
Seconds later, we find yeah. out
how are we going to get out of here. Oh, it won't be hard with all this chaos. What chaos? Bang.
Yes.
Say
yes.
Oh, that.
And again, I was like, yeah, okay, of course, you know. Yeah. And, but it was a great, you know, because it was just a wonderfully written and wonderfully executed. Pardon the pun. And it'll flip of the hat, and the whole thing is like, okay, we're having fun.
And again, just as everything showed how okay, anyway, so it showed Boyd who he is, which we haven't seen in a little while.
And within a minute of each other, I care for you and your brother, blah, 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 blah.
You're deeply.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, he doesn't care about anything. Sociopath that he is, psychopath, whatever.
A little touch on that scene was the flip of the hat
right
onto his head.
Yeah.
Is like, I'm done, off I go.
Yeah.
So.
And, of course, I know how to work a marshal's hat, because I'm Boyd, and I know how to do things.
Well, he's afraid running into enough marshals or cops.
Not a marshal. Sorry,
he was
cop.
A stady. I think
There was a lot of hat attention.
There was
discussions. There was flips. There was hats.
Perfectly appropriate for the two of you. I just want to say.
Yeah. Okay, I'm not sure where that goes.
On another note.
All right. That's right.
Yeah.
So let's talk further, because obviously now that Boyd is out, what? Tammy, you're noting something?
Just my next plot point.
Okay. So
the next
out.
Time
he's
we see
free.
Boyd is in a cop car.
In a cop car, and a pickup truck drives by.
Yep.
And did you recognize that pickup truck?
No, I did not recognize that character, and you barely saw him. But obviously Boyd knows who he is.
I looked at it frame by frame to figure out who it was, and it wasn't anybody we know. Okay. It's a character that's going to come up and be important
we'll
for
meet
the rest
him next
of the season.
Episode.
So you're that actor that you got. I'm justified.
No. Yeah,
he'll be in the next episode.
He will be instrumental.
VJ will talk. He'll tell us all about it, because he's written the episode. Yeah. So
VJ Boyd is going to be on our show next week. Awesome.
Thank you for being excited about something you already know about.
Oh,
Tamara.
Right. I know.
So,
good smile.
So I have no idea what that's about. Who could he be? I mean, so many questions. I can't even hazard a guess.
Well, if you saw the coming ups, there was a whole like crowd scene in the woods that involved a lot of hill-looking people. That guy may have been one of them. I don't know.
Maybe. There was talk of hill people season two.
There's ill people.
People in the holler all the time.
Yeah, okay. So they're all over the place. So,
groups
anyway,
a moonshiner.
So we're certainly learning what that's all about, and see what Boyd's next play is, because that clearly is part of it. We just don't know how it's going to pan out yet. So, speaking of the hill people, let's go talk about Ava and Zach and how they meet or try to meet their hill person, being Grooves.
Grooves.
Yeah.
Our buddy Grooves.
So obviously Ava goes to Zachariah, and Zachariah finds a way to get the money up to the, well, they start by going to the mine supply shack or whatever the heck it is, and you know, because they're on their way to Grooves, because Grooves is the only guy that can find his way out of the holler with all the trails?
The moonshine trails.
Is that what they're calling
moonshine trails?
Yes.
And of course, all I really care about in this part is just getting them when they finally get to the shack. I just like Zachariah kicking the door in.
Into Grooves Shack.
Into Grooves Shack. They finally get to Grooves, because the rest of it was, you know, it was fine and you needed it and it was interesting. But I just like that she goes, I guess we'll have to wait. Not this cold. Bang! He kicks the door in.
Yeah.
And of course, he says, what does that smell? And I'm going, come on, you don't know dead person smell? How do you not know that?
Yeah.
You live in Harmon County.
They've smelled that before.
But before that happened, I thought for sure that something was booby-trapped, and that was the end of Zachariah.
The kicking of the door was going to be.
You know, Grooves is like backwoods.
Yeah, you thought, you're
right.
sure. Some punji sticks or something like that.
Exactly.
Harlan punji sticks.
Yeah.
That would have been interesting. But no, he's just dead.
He's just dead.
He's just dead. Probably been that way for a while.
He's really, really dead.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's taking a Harlan nap.
He didn't leave Harlan alive.
Hashtag Harlan nap.
Grubbs is now
when
Grubbs.
Teach you about how to use Twitter,
that's gonna be awesome.
I'll explain to you the hashtag right. Harlan Knapp.
Oh my god! I can't wait. I got a hashtag.
We don't have much time though. So
oh, shoot,
we have to talk Raylan because obviously this whole thing.
Okay.
I love the setup. You know, the money's gone. Ava's gone from last week, and so Vasquez is pushing that like crazy. He thinks Raylan's in on it. He's had relations with Ava before. They conveniently shoot Boyd.
Vasquez
$10 million, and he thinks
he's going after everybody.
But he's got a great argument. He's got a great argument.
Yeah.
You convinced me to put him point. Meaning, he's talking to Rachel. Rachel, you convinced me to have Ray on that point, and I knew better because I've been trying to get him on all kinds of things early in the career, a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
and that didn't work. And now look what's happened. They've absconded with $10 million, and they're running off.
Yeah, he says we've had to defend this guy on so many bad shootings. This is the time he doesn't pull his gun.
Exactly, really? Which was great. We were talking about that last week. So why didn't
we were.
So it works against Raylan.
Yes.
And it does. It makes him look really guilty, especially in Vasquez's eyes, because he doesn't trust him. He never just really trusted him.
You know what was really, just to jump off of that, just for a second, when Art walks back into the office, fully shaved, he had such a look of like, last place I want to be because I know how this is going to end.
Yeah,
you know it was.
He looked the weight of it seemed very heavy. And it's like, damn it, I'm back, and it's the same damn thing.
Yeah, except it's totally not.
It's bigger.
Where the hell is Raylan and the money?
And you know, even that scene with Rachel, and it's like, yeah, and we knew it was going to happen. And
but
it did,
everybody's accusing Raylan of taking the money.
Yeah.
Even Tim,
you got to give
me a cut of that $10 million.
Yeah, Tim.
It's just everyone thinks Raylan's taking the money.
But do you think Tim really? Thinks that? I think he's just kneeling
on
he messes with him on everything. But there might be part of him that, you know, this is Tim, I'm going, it might be part of him that thinks, well, he might have, but I don't really think he would.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, because it's plausible. Let's face it. He's not always above board about everything, and he skirts the law, even though he's a lawman.
Well, and that's even, Rachel even talks to Art about that. Is that what you would do?
Yeah, the whole thing there. Mm-hmm. Okay, so anyway, so Art is listening to that, and he realizes, okay, everybody's career is in jeopardy here, and I got to get back. So he's saying, Raylan, get back here, because you need to be back here.
Right.
You can't run point and try to do the manhunt. But which was weird, because Rachel says, you're sitting me down. No, I can't sit you sideline during a manhunt because you're one of my best manhunters. Yeah, he's going to do the same with Raylan. It's like, but of course, there's good reason on a Raylan side, not on a Rachel side, because Rachel's got, you know, she's great at what she does, but she doesn't have the headaches that Raylan causes. So here Raylan is, he's about to go on the Hilo to get up on the ridge and the whole thing, and he gets called back.
The Hilo with Fleur.
Yeah.
You know, that's cool.
I know what that means. What does that mean?
Forward-looking infrared.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Steven.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Sun's going to be a
finally.
Oh, there's that.
Finally.
So, yeah, you got to give up the chopper ride. And, you know, again, that phone call with Art.
Yeah.
Since you know me so well,
mm-hmm.
Tone of my voice. And I like how it just like throws the phone. God damn it. You know.
Fun fact about the helicopter. Please tell.
Oh, I don't know if it's legit. So I think it costs more if you actually have the helicopter land. So I don't know if you noticed in the shot, it didn't actually land.
It just sort of hovered 3 feet from the ground.
So,
and then back up.
Yeah, I've been friends of mine. But
I also heard it costs a lot if you have to start it.
Yes, it does.
If you actually shut it down and start it. So helicopters have a lot of rules.
They paid a lot of money for this.
They do. I'm going to buy one.
Exactly.
Do you need to know how to wear one? No.
So
joystick, that's all you need.
So, but
I'm
all
pretty
this,
good at video games.
Yeah.
So everywhere Raylan turns, he's got somebody using him.
So who's fugitive number one, really? He's like fugitive number two, practically.
Yeah, right now.
According to Vasquez, he is.
Yeah.
So, and then... Well, let's just talk about that last scene with Art a little bit more. I just love the whole sequence. You know, obviously, Earl, he left Earl in the car. He left his badge in the car.
Right.
You know, and he's decided, okay, whatever I have to do next. You know, because he says that line to the cop in the prison. You want to, that great line about tarnish the badge.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And here, I love this because, you know, if you weren't really noticing that, he's not willing to tarnish the badge. He's leaving it behind in some sense. You know.
Good one, John.
I just like that was there, and you know, it was a very subtle thing. But he's not willing to tarnish the badge, so he's going out on his own. I mean,
I saw it as he's not willing to work within the badge anymore.
Well, that's true, of course. Yeah. I think it's both. Yeah. I think he's not going to do it in the name of the law right now. Right. Not a lawman. So, right. You know, that's his code. So,
by the way, that was a great scene when Earl is in the car and Raylan says, take your time, and he goes sits on the bench.
Yeah.
And I'm watching that, and I'm thinking, that's probably a lot of what they do.
Yeah, they just let them stew.
And they wait. But just the job as a whole is probably just sitting around waiting for something to happen, just waiting for somebody to do something stupid.
And then he's talking to Ray at the end. I'm sorry, he's talking to Art. Raylan's talking to Art, and he's saying, so who's coming after me? Everyone? Well, you got a very high opinion of yourself. Yeah. Everyone is out looking for Boyd. No,
I'll be the one coming after you.
And I was like, oh, I didn't see that. I didn't see that the showdown, in some sense, is going to be between them, which is a great one because all along they've been.
It's always been father and son.
So, yeah, and it's going to be father and son again. Mm-hmm. So that's there too. So that part, I love that we've woven that theme back in there. That's terrific.
And it's when they're talking about it, again, it's what they don't say. It sounds very professional, like, no, this is just how it is. But, you know, what they're saying is
it's very
like,
personal.
Yeah, it's very personal.
Extremely personal.
I've got my foot on your wound. Essentially,
because they never, and God, I hope they deal. They never ever dealt with last season.
Oh yeah, about
about when the last time he went off the reservation.
Exactly the way
he
Art
cleaned up.
Yeah, exactly.
And Art knows about it.
Oh yeah, clearly.
Oh, I'm just thinking about all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. And all this stuff, killing the guy in the car. Yeah. Or allowing him to be killed.
But before they got there, he had to go to the Portal Pizza.
Okay. Yes.
All right.
Oh.
Love the scene.
Oh my God!
John Abnett shoots it like a classic Western.
The only thing missing was a dusty road and a church bell.
Oh yeah,
bell,
it was great. The backlighting and edging into the frame.
It was the small things because Raylan's ready to move by and he just moves here and then Raylan freezes and like, okay. I didn't know I'm in front of a rattler. What are we gonna do?
Exactly.
And Boone, like I said, it's so fun to see him live in this way gone era, this other dimension of, but it's so real to him.
And he doesn't know who John Wayne is.
Yeah. I love this moment.
Just remember.
I love this moment.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
You can hear a goddamn pin drop. Yeah.
And then, you know, Avery tells me to pass, and this is my favorite. Boone says, check my balls right now. Be purple, they so blue. Be purple, they so blue. It's like, what? This is a great line.
I would just like to repeat so Greasy and Terrifying.
Greasy and Terrifying, clearly. Yes, yes. Jonathan Tucker doing an amazing job.
Fun as hell to hang with, I got to tell you.
And Erie with Loretta earlier. Look, we don't have time to explore that.
She needs to wear her seatbelt.
I believe he's a concerned citizen, and he cares about his girl.
Yeah. And somehow it's just co-opted her into a marriage or some alliance, shall we say, in his mind. Tuck in with us.
Also, Raylan tells Markham that Catherine's dead.
Oh, yeah, twice. Yeah, he had to inform somebody that their loved one is dead, and they hadn't known. I was like, wow, that's weird.
Yeah, he almost gives Markham a full service.
Yeah.
You know, I want you to dwell upon that.
Yeah,
as
exactly.
You ponder
as you're grieving.
Yes, as you're grieving. Yeah. And though your loss may be deep.
Yeah, well.
As you... Whoa, Raylan turned into a preacher.
Yeah, well, it was great, though.
The look on Sam Elliott's face, when I watched it the second time, because I knew what was coming, I was really studying his face, and, you know, that subtle shift that he made, it's one of those, you know, moments that indicates a great actor, you know, because there was a shift, and that's devastating news for him.
Mm-hmm. It honestly looked like he had heard that news right then the first time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I totally agree.
Yeah.
I watched it a few times too, just to see him work.
Yeah. Yeah. As opposed to the first time Earl hears it.
Wait a second. Both the deputy and Raylan just look at him.
Hang on a minute. Did you just say what I think?
That was a while ago, Earl.
Yeah.
But I liked also seeing the way Tim handled both of those instances, because because it's the same thing. He's telling somebody that Tim Oliphant. I'm sorry, I'm not Gutterson.
Thank you.
Sorry, I'm talking Raylan.
Raylan.
Yeah. Tim is real name. So I'm just saying that it's the same experience. Meaning, you're telling somebody that their loved one is dead, and they don't know it yet. And then in both times, he realized, oh my God, he didn't know.
Yeah.
And he did it. Obviously, you'd want to make sure that you do it differently each time, because it's more interesting that way. But I just like that part of it, too.
Yeah.
The subtle shift that they made on that. So, because the second, if you like, you don't think, I don't think he really cares about these people are criminals, so he doesn't really care about that. So, but it seemed like at the moment he said, okay, I'm going to give Markham, he didn't know that, I'm going to give him a second, and then he launches into the.
Yeah, because regardless of whether or not you like these people, there is a certain amount of common decency you have to sort of abide by, I guess.
And he makes sure that after it sinks in, he tells Markham, all of this is on you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. So, and that's what he says, you know, while you undergo your grieving, let that guide you as you contemplate your next move. Nice.
Yeah.
All right, we got to get out of here. Tamara, you have some shout outs.
I have news. Thank you very much. I have news to report. Natalie Z rang in her new decade last month by drinking her greens. The Justified actress tweeted a picture of green tea and a green smoothie to celebrate her 40th birthday, which was March 17th. Right, and she quipped, getting wasted on my birthday. Also, just so you know, Natalie, who plays Winona, in case you don't recognize the name, she's also been cast in a yet-to-be-titled sitcom for TBS that stars Daily Show veteran Jason Jones.
Oh, Jason, nice.
Based on the Vacation movie. Chevy Chase movie, sure. Vacation. Okay, people, listen up. Omaze, the company known for creating fabulous Hollywood experience fundraising prizes, is offering a once-in-a-lifetime chance for one lucky viewer to see the finale of Justified before it airs.
What?
Yeah, so they get to see how the grand prize is seeing how the finale ends, getting to go to the finale screening, going to a party, toasting with Justified's Timothy Oliphant, flying to Los Angeles, and staying in a 4-star hotel.
There you go.
Chances to win this prize range from $10 to $15,000.
Whoa.
And some of them include gifts with your donation. They vary from t-shirts to autographed memorabilia to lunch with Timothy Oliphant. That's what $15,000 will get for you.
Okay.
Go to Omaze.com and search Justify for more info. I tweet the link out as well. I think I just did a couple of minutes ago. The raffle benefits the Lori Teitelman and Ruth Hershey Fund and the Harlan County Boys and Girls Clubs.
Nice.
So they're putting some money back into Harlan. Finally, a new collection of short stories by Elmore Leonard from early in his career will be released this summer. The book is titled Charlie Martz and Other Stories and will be published on June 16th. Including 15 stories, 11 of which have never been published before.
Wow, cool.
So this is kind of exciting. And they introduce some of Leonard's recurring characters.
Hot Kid? Is Hot Kid in one of them?
The Hot Kid, I don't know. They didn't say. During his career, Leonard published 47 books, three of which were the inspiration for the show Justified.
Okay.
A couple of shout-outs. The Zoo Boy... 111 got it right this time. Thank
you
for
last
that.
Time, LLL.
I think the third. I think is what
the
I
third.
Said. And he called me on it. How am I supposed to know? A couple of wonderful reviews on iTunes that we really appreciate. Thank you so much. The Three Row Show, Dubs8876, which is Alan from South Carolina, who says, "I feel like a freeloader. I've been listening to your podcast since the third episode, and I'm just now rating it." Mackenzie says. He waits to watch Justified until the podcast is up.
Nice.
And, you know, the thing is a couple people mentioned the wait between the time that it goes up. And here's the deal. If we had to do it right after, we wouldn't be able to do it at all. So thank you for bearing with us to get through a couple of days. Love Justified and Bort Doggy, who says, "I'm the MVP of AfterBuzz TV, and so I like that very
much." I'm sorry, I didn't hear that last one,
yeah,
Tamara.
Yeah, go on iTunes. You can read our reviews and send them to us as well.
Yeah.
Questions for VJ Boyd? Let us know if you have any. You can do it in the YouTube comments. You can also do it in tweets to me, but not to Steve.
Yeah. And let us know your thoughts and your theories on how this is all going to end and who's going to survive. We're waiting to hear that. All right, so we got to go. Mm-hmm. Steve, where can they find you?
Oh, Bottomly Steven at the Twitters.
Yeah, and I'll read his tweets when I look at my tweets at Tamara Berg. Also, my website is TamaraCentral.com. Thanks, you guys.
And you can find me here at AfterBuzzTV/Justified. Thanks very much for listening, everybody. We will talk to you next time.
Talk to you then.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.